Hi, my name is PJ Booth and I'm the founding pastor of Open Arms Church. I'm very aware of late that we're surrounded by bad news. Of course, we have COVID-19, which in Ireland right now is the biggest lockdown that we've ever had. And yet it seems to be spreading even right now in these coming weeks. But I'm also aware that we have Brexit and there seems to be a shortage of fresh vegetables and other things coming into the nation. And of course, when you look to America and beyond, what do we see? Chaos. Absolute chaos. So I asked a question about Christians. What hope do we have? Because it doesn't look like we have too much hope in this world right here, right now. Where does our hope come from? And you know me, I'm an optimist. My glass is always half full. Well, nearly always half full. But still, when there's sickness and death and threats of death and chaos around us, we have to take our eyes off what we see on this earth and we have to raise our head to a place called heaven. And so the title of my message this morning is, It Doesn't End Here. This is not the end. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. So somehow, even for those people who don't know Jesus, there's something about the afterlife. There's something about eternity that keep wondering and keep thinking and trying to sort out. And of course, there's many, many questions about heaven. And for those who have encountered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we know that this is where our hope lies. What kind of questions are there about heaven? You know, some people ask, will there be cats and dogs there? Well, there will be dogs, but as for cats, I just don't know. Although I have three little grandsons and they have a kitten at the moment called Coco, so perhaps she'll be there. We know for sure that the lion and the lamb will lay down and they will be at peace at that place called heaven. Another question people often ask is, will there be marriage in heaven? Will people be married? Will I have the same wife and the same husband? And the answer to that, according to Jesus in Luke 20, is this. Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. So somehow heaven is going to be this place where we have such a relationship with God, with ourselves and with each other, that it will fulfill all the needs of mankind. Another question someone asked me recently is, will there be golf courses in heaven? You know, a pastor found himself wondering whether there was any golf courses in heaven. He even began to ask the question in his prayers. And one day, in answer to his prayers, he received a direct answer from on high. Yes, said the heavenly messenger, there are many excellent golf courses in heaven. The greens are always in first-class condition. The weather is always perfect. And you always get to play with very nice people. Oh, thank you, said the pastor. This really is marvelous news. Yes, it is, replied the messenger. And we've got you down for a foursome next Saturday. Recently, a teacher, a bin man, and a lawyer wound up together at the pearly gates. St. Peter informed them that in order to get into heaven, they would each have to answer just one question. St. Peter addressed the teacher and said, what was the name of the ship that crashed into the iceberg? And the teacher said, well, they've just made a movie about it, and it was called the Titanic. St. Peter looked at him and said, you may enter. He then turned to the bin man, and figuring heaven didn't really need all the odors that this guy would bring with him, decided to make the question a little harder. How many people died on the ship? Now, fortunately for him, the bin man had just seen the movie and answered about 1,500 people. And St. Peter looked at him and said, you may enter. Then he looked at the lawyer and he said, name them. So the Bible tells us a lot about heaven. And there's a scripture that I often use at funerals, and indeed, I read out at the graveside because it is to give us hope, is to put hope in our heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what heaven will be like to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who had died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him again. ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive will remain on the earth. We will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And verse 18 finishes and says, so encourage each other with these words. So we are to encourage each other with the words about heaven, with the words that this is where our hope lies. So let's do that. So firstly, about heaven. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not just a state of mind, a figment of someone's imagination. It's real. Revelation 21:16, which is the final book in the Bible, says this. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it is long. Now, 12,000 stadia is about 1,400 cubed miles. So that means 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles high, 1,400 miles long, right, and deep. And so that massive cube, which amounts to 2.74 million cubic meters. It's a massive, massive, colossal area. And Randy Alcorn says in his book about heaven, given the dimensions of 1,400 miles cubed, if the city consisted of different levels, now we don't know this, and if each story were a generous 12 foot high, the city would have over 600,000 stories. If they were on different levels, billions of people would occupy the New Jerusalem with many square miles per person. And if the numbers are figurative, not literal, and that's certainly possible, surely they are still meant to convey that the home of God's people will be extremely large and roomy. So there's plenty of room. There's room for you, for me, for our family, for our loved ones. People say heaven is narrow. No, heaven is not narrow. Heaven is broad and expansive and has enough room for you and the ones that you love. So secondly, heaven is a right place. Revelation 21:4. He says, he will wipe every tear from your eye and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things have passed away. So everything is made right in heaven. No more death, no more mourning, crying, rejection, separation. No more physical pain, emotional, or indeed spiritual. And the old order of things has passed away. Now, we live in this old order. But when we get to heaven, that will have passed away and we have a new order. You know, there'll be no more bad coffee there. My good friend Donovan Cutsey from Cape Town says, life is too short for bad coffee. I agree. Thirdly, heaven is a relational place. Revelation 22 says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And this word nations literally means ethnic groups. So in heaven and on this new earth will be people from every tribe and every nation. Can I say to you that if you don't like the beautiful ethnicities of this world, heaven is not for you. Because every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every beautiful color will be there. South Africa is known as the Rainbow Nation, but I want to tell you, heaven is going to be the rainbow heaven. So make sure you're there and the ones that you love. The scripture goes on to say, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Lord, we could do with this healing in Ireland and in the nations of the world right now, perhaps like never before. That we could see beyond our narrow, mean, self-centered, our world and culture. That perhaps the people of this nation and the nations would realize that the world does not revolve around me. It's not about me. It's about we. It's about us. Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will be with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We're going to have a personal relationship. That relationship that we can have with God right here on earth will continue and deepen and have greater sense of revelation. We will be his people. He will be our God. Relationship, intimacy, closeness, friendship. Now, fourthly, heaven will be a rewarding place. My reward will be those famous words from me. What I would like to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Is that somehow we have completed what God has asked us to do. Not what everybody else has asked us to do. Not what I just would want and feel to do, but everything God has asked me to do. Revelation 22:12 says, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. This word reward means payment. There is a payment. A reward for our faithfulness. The reward is for loving God with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul, with all of our strength, and for loving our neighbor as ourselves. Matthew 16:27 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. You know, it took me 33 years to discover that God loves me, to discover that he wants a relationship with me. And the rest of my life is about loving him and serving him and fulfilling his purposes for me on the face of this earth. We are not to live for short-term goals or gains, but we must live with eternity at the forefront of our minds, at the forefront of our dreams, our prayers, our hopes, with eternity at the forefront of every decision that we make. So how do we live then for eternity? Titus 2:11 says this, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. You know, sin is missing God's mark. And sometimes it means, you know, what's obvious, but sometimes the non-obvious things. You know, not just living for ourselves and minding our own business, but actually living for the plans and purposes of God. So 3 points for you to live for eternity. Number one, I must refocus my energies. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So keep your eyes on the prize. And that's what it's saying. Keep our eye on the ball. Keep our eyes on the prize. Don't get distracted. And I believe the Lord has made it possible to live, of course, comfortable lives. You know, a roof over our heads, enough to eat, a car, education, to have a reasonably good quality of life. But not to think that this place is going to be a little heaven. Not to think that this is where we're going to spend eternity. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. Let us not become so distracted by worldly treasures that we forget about our eternal promises. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, for if we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This will all fade away. This is not permanent. Every time we love others out of our love for Jesus Christ, what's happening? We're building up heavenly treasures. Everything must flow in and out of that love of Christ within our hearts. So let's not become distracted by work, education, career, or even things. Things like cars, houses, handbags, football, whatever, to such an extent that we take our eyes off the prize of heaven. Our greatest prize is Jesus. Our greatest prize is a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. So 3 points to live for eternity. Number one, refocusing my energies. Number two, to reach people. Our motivation must be people, not things. Our motivation must be people. Can you hear me today? Our motivation must be people. Jude 1, 22-23 says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." People matter. People desperately matter. Everything here is going to be burned up. None of our earthly treasures will last, but people will. I cannot bring my house, my car to heaven, but I can bring people. I can point people in the direction of Jesus, and he will take you there. So we must reach the lost at no matter what the cost. And that's not just a saying. That's not something you just run up. We must reach lost people who do not know Jesus Christ, who do not know his love and his sacrifice. We must tell the message and the good news of Jesus. Our own sense of shyness, and sometimes we have to break through that. Our own sense of fear of others, we got to break all that down. Our own sense of lack or perhaps fear of rejection, we must break through those barriers and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So we must do whatever it takes to get them there. I've often told you and often said that when Sean Booth was young, we would keep saying to him, no matter what career you might choose, no matter what educational path you might go on, the main thing is be there. I want to say to you today, be there. No matter what it takes, no matter what decision you have to make, be there. The very last book of the Bible gives us a great invitation. Revelation 22, 17 says this, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." What an invitation. It is an invitation from Jesus Christ, from his bride, to say, come, those who are thirsty. And right now, many of us have the opportunity to invite people to listen online. You know, it's a great thing. You don't even have to invite them to come to Open Arms because we're closed. But we're open. Our airways are open. And I want to encourage and invite your people, listen in. Listen to our podcast. Listen in on Sunday morning. Listen in anytime, 7 days a week, wherever you are, in your own living room, in your own bed, wherever you are. Listen in and hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that you may get an opportunity to respond to that good and great news. So again, 3 points to live for eternity. Refocus my energies. Number two, reach people. And thirdly, we need to renew our relationship with God. 2 Peter 3:13. "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since we are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." Spotless, blameless, and in peace. Hey, I don't know about you, but for me, that's impossible. But Jesus Christ has made a way through his sacrifice on the cross. He has made that possible. He has made a way for us. The people in Open Arms are not better than those who are outside. That is not our message. But we have had the opportunity to know Jesus. We have been given the opportunity to respond to that message and that invitation. And that's what we extend to you today. We're not better. We're not greater. But we have found a Savior whose name is Jesus. So allow me to finish then by asking the most obvious question of all. How do I get into heaven? And who's going to be there? Good question to finish on. My Bible tells me that God created me, that he knit me together in my mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully. And when we come to that age of reason, we make a choice to accept the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, or simply to continue to pay the price myself. I don't know about you, but I want to choose Jesus every time, every day. This means that all of those who've never had the opportunity to come to the age of reason go directly to be with Jesus. That is the reality of what my Bible says. For all those people out there in the mother and baby's homes that began way back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and really beyond that age as well, where We see this week that there was massive amount of babies who have died. 9,000 officially, but we know there was far, far more than that. Babies who died through the neglect of the hands of the religious and indeed our state. And I believe with all of my heart, I believe by the study of this word, God's word, and the character and nature of God himself, that those beautiful innocent babies are at home and at peace with the person of Jesus Christ right now, where they'll feel no pain, no rejection, no sadness or judgment. And I am certainly so sorry for those who have been judged, abused and used by those who falsely claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. It is also good to remember that those who perpetuated these crimes were from both Catholic and Protestant traditions alike. You know, the only measure of true spirituality is the depth of our love. That's it, folks. So surely the ones who abused you, who abused your babies, were the least spiritual of all humanity who have ever lived. The true opposite of love is fear, and that fear was perpetrated by evil itself. As our own Edmund Burke once said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." It may have taken 50 years to bring this to light, but thank God for those brave individuals who fought to bring justice to so many people. So please take courage, take hope, that one day you will meet that boy or that little girl, that baby that you hold in your heart. And I'm very aware that these people try to snatch those kids from you. But I know that if you close your eyes, you can remember them. You can see their faces. You can remember their names. And right now, I believe they are with the Lord. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to this message. You know, we can just end and say, "That's nice. That's interesting." Or you can respond and you can shift your trajectory for eternity. You can shift how you live. You can shift your focus of hope on this world, or you can shift your hope to heaven. And so I want to give you the opportunity to respond. I want you to take a few minutes and think that during this message, during our service, one of those worship songs, if you have any sense that this God of heaven and earth, who I believe is love and grace and mercy and kindness and holiness and righteousness and justice, that somehow he's reaching out, he's touching something within the heart of man, within your emotions, within your thought processes. If you sense that today, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. The last book of the Bible again, I want to remind you of that invitation from Revelation 22. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Now Jesus put it even more plainly. He really did. Again, in Revelation 3:20, this is what Jesus said. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." So the final question of how do I get into heaven and who will be there is simply but profoundly those who trust and choose and make a choice to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So if that's you today, wherever you are, Jesus sees you. And not only does he see you, he sees what's in the depth of your heart. And if you're here today and you said, "Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life," I simply want you to say similar words to these. "Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, this world will never fulfill everything that I need. This world will end here, but I want to go to eternity with you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to fill me with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So no matter what your circumstances are, your health, your wealth, or your lack, I want to finish by reading you this scripture. John 14, 1 to 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be where I am. Remember, it doesn't end here. God bless you. Thank you.